Endurance takes practice. It takes desire and passion. Welcome to Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent, pastors with a desire to help you endure.
We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan. I'm here with my good friend Trent, and we are here with the second part of our interview with our wives. My wife, Rochelle, is on with us, and Trent's wife, Dana, is on with him, and we are having a wonderful conversation, and we've got a couple other things we want to share with you today. So join us as we finish this conversation.
All right. So we have talked quite a bit about protecting family time and couple time and what it means to both be called into ministry. But ladies, I know that because you're both called into ministry as well, you have some important roles in serving each of our churches. And so you had mentioned there are expectations that churches have of you all and your family. So I wanted you all to talk about, Rochelle, what are the expectations that maybe your church has of you and your family?
You know, our church is pretty good on that end. I don't really see a whole lot of frowns when I don't do something or this or that. You know, I think the expectations that we have in our church are more ones that I put on myself. But I have been in churches where it was completely expected that, you know, a pastor's wife would be on the music team, play the piano or sing, would teach classes, Sunday school, would always be the first one to get the potluck set up and be the last one to get the potluck cleaned up afterwards, and would do everything that came along, you know, women's retreat and VBS and this, that, and the other. And that if you didn't show up, you were frowned at, you were talked about behind closed doors and this and that. So I definitely know what that feels like, but my current church isn't really that way. We're blessed.
Well, I think that in both of the churches we have been a part of, I've been blessed as well. I haven't felt like people are judging me for what I do and don't do in the church. And they've let me kind of carve out my own ministries in the church. But, you know, a pastor is unusual in that there's not necessarily a written job description for the pastor. And there's certainly not a written job description for the pastor's wife. And yet, you answer to all of your church members, and each church member has their own individual expectations. And as a new pastor's wife, or as you're coming into a new church, it's really kind of scary, and you wonder if you're offending anyone if you're not meeting everybody's expectations. So I would encourage you as a pastor and wife to protect your hearts in that, and to be completely real and authentic with your church family so that they know what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with. You know, unfortunately, I may have offended someone because I don't serve in the nursery. Babies are not my calling, but I do play the piano. And so, you know, I can't work in the nursery because I'm playing the piano. So I don't know. There's just different expectations that come with being a pastor and wife.
Dana, that's hilarious because I purposefully did not ever learn to play the piano because I had heard my whole life, if you play the piano, you're going to have to play it in church every Sunday. So I didn't do that on purpose. But I will say that, you know, even if your church doesn't have those expectations, which I hope that they would, you know, be more gracious than that. But even if they don't, your church members want to get to know you. They want to, you know, find out who you are as a person, and they enjoy spending time with you. And so sometimes it's not necessarily an expectation, for example, that I go to women's retreat, but there is disappointment if I don't go because they want to get to know me in that environment and see who I am just with the girls kind of thing. So, you know, that's something to think about too, that they enjoy getting to know you as a person.
That's true.
You know, I feel that there's a responsibility that as a pastor that I've had in this process. And that is, you know, even when I'm talking with a church or something like that, to remind them that, you know, my wife and I are both called, but you're only hiring one of us. You know, if you want, if you think that my wife should have a job description, then you need to hire her. You know, otherwise the idea is that she should do what she feels called to do, just like any other church member, because she already carries a burden of supporting and helping me. And I know that for both of you guys, I mean, if Trent and I sat down and we just wrote up the list of all the things that you've done to help support our churches over the years we've been in ministry, your list would probably be longer than the list that we could come up with for ourselves, because you guys fill so many roles in the church, and you've had such servants' hearts about that. And I know that's one thing both of us appreciate about you. Trent, have you ever had any conversations with people or about the expectations they might have on your wife?
Well, I know that Dana mentioned that she doesn't feel called to take care of little bitty children. She also, you know, there was a lot of pressure on her to take over the women's ministry when we came to our church that we're in now. And that's not her calling. And so I feel like that I need to be the protector. I need to be the one that stands between those who would have expectations and Dana, and be able to say, hey, you know, this is not a good expectation. This is not her strength or her spiritual giftedness. So we're going to let her choose the things that she's involved in. Just like we would let anybody else in our church choose the things that they're gifted to do, we're going to give the same grace to our wives.
As Trent and I are meeting with couples to do marriage counseling, whether it's before they're married or while they're married, Trent is really good at encouraging both spouses to be an encourager for their spouse, and that it's my job as the wife to help Trent be his very best in whatever it is that God has called him to do. And then it's Trent's job to help me be my very best. And I have appreciated that in our marriage, and we try to model that for others as well.
One other thing I might just add too is that I believe that the Bible teaches that our pastors and overseers, leaders in the church, are held to a little bit higher standard of conduct. And I think that applies to us as fellow ministers and as a couple. You know, just to be, I mean, you know, as Christians, we always want to imitate Christ in the way that we live our lives. But I think as people seen as leaders in ministry, we have to be extra careful with the way that we talk and the way that we dress and the way that we are perceived by others. I think there's a little bit higher standard that we need to place upon ourselves to make sure that we're being good examples and that we are supporting our husbands by not doing anything that would make their job more difficult.
Well, I also want to bring up that churches have expectations of our children. So, Rochelle, have you ever had to protect your daughters from church member expectations?
A couple of times, yeah.
Well, I want to say that we have been blessed in both of our churches that the church members have not necessarily expected our children to be better than somebody else. So our kids were also given the same grace that I was given to just be themselves. But there was one instance where a Sunday school teacher had asked my son to pray. Well, you're the preacher's kid, you pray. And so we had a conversation with that teacher, and he apologized and was profusely, you know, apologetic because he didn't realize what pressure he was putting on our son. And so a lot of times people don't realize that they do have those expectations of our kids. And so as a parent, you know, don't be confrontational, but communicate again with your church members that, you know, my kid is just the same as your kid. He's human. And let's give him grace, just like you want me to give your children grace.
And I think as parents, too, we have to guard ourselves about that, that we are treating our children the way we would treat them as children and not as you're reflecting on me kind of thing. You know, oh, well, you're the pastor's kid. You can't make that mistake. You're the pastor's kid. You can't get caught doing that or whatever, you know. I think we need to protect our kids sometimes from our expectations, even if they're subconscious. We have to make ourselves aware of them and realize that they are children and that we need to show them the same grace we show our church members' children.
Well, one of the things that we all have to remember is that as we go through this process as a family and as a team, that we are all spiritual sojourners. And we all have our spiritual good moments. And, you know, as our spouses, you also see your pastor's worst spiritual moments. And, you know, it's a challenge for all of us. But I think to have that healthy mindset and to really, you know, we talk about enduring. One of the enduring parts is, you know, we have moments where we grow a lot. We also have moments and seasons where we're pretty dry. And the same is true for each of us, including our kids, including our church members. And, you know, if we can keep that in perspective, I certainly think that that will help us survive the long haul. And you guys have given us some survival tips that I think can be really helpful. Why don't you guys talk us through some of the survival tips that you guys have for pastor spouses?
Well, one thing I want to mention is that as a pastor, it's really important that you have a teachable spirit. And as the wife, that we come alongside and are learning along with our husbands. You know, when you come into a church, the members who are already there have been there longer than you have, and they will probably be there longer after you leave. And so allow people to speak into your life and to help mold you. Don't take it personally, and don't be offended when people come to you with their concerns. Listen and take what you can learn from your church members.
Absolutely. I had an instance a couple of years ago, Dana, where a church member came to me and said, you know, when you're on stage, you need to be really careful about what you wear. Cleavage is not appropriate, you know. And I was evaluating what I was wearing that day. I was actually wearing a sweater, and I couldn't see where any cleavage had come to play in that. But so at first I was really offended and upset. And then I thought, you know, I just need to be really aware of how others might perceive things and just, you know, be really careful because, you know, I'm not out on a date with my husband. I am at church, and I want people to be able to worship and feel comfortable and not be distracted from the thing that I'm doing. So it is a teachable moment, even though I think she was wrong in her perception, but, you know, it was something I could still learn from. Mm-hmm. On that same topic of having a teachable spirit, I think we have to recognize our need to have people in our lives to talk to and to seek counsel from, you know, to find mentors or people that are kind of objective, kind of not involved in the same area that we are, that we can go to with problems or concerns or things that we might want to seek counsel on. I personally think it's important to have a friend or two whose husband is also in the ministry, because they go through similar feelings and similar challenges, and you can get some of their ideas and kind of talk through things together. But I think we need to recognize when we need to ask for help, when we need to ask for advice, and not be afraid to do that.
I agree. I think as, you know, pastors and wives, we say people put us up on a pedestal, but I think we also kind of put ourselves up thinking that, oh, I've got to be strong, I've got to be mature, I can't appear weak before my church. And, you know, that's a lie from Satan, because our people just want us to be real. They want to know that we are human as well. And when we need help, we need to ask. when we're having struggles. Our church members want to be able to help us, but if we always appear strong before them, then they're not going to feel that freedom to become involved with us on a personal level. And it's okay to make friends. It's okay to enjoy friendships in your church and in your community, and reach out to those mentors and counselors who can help you through things.
You said it's important to make friends. I think it's really important. One of the things that the churches that Alan and I have been involved with, at each one, people have told me and have told him, you know, something we really like about you guys is that you're real. You know, you're not afraid to be real in front of us. And I think it's important that your church can see you as a real person, see you in those times when you're playing a game or when you're, you know, enjoying a movie or this or that, and to have those friend times, because I think it gives them the freedom to know that you understand what it's like to be human, and that you're not going to be standing in judgment of them when they make mistakes, because they've seen you make mistakes. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think we need to not be afraid of those times. I always tease Alan that he always talks about it, all of his mistakes from the pulpit, so the church knows everything about him. It's embarrassing.
Hey, Alan, I focus on all of everybody else's mistakes. No, I'm just teasing. But
I probably should do that. That everyone's afraid to play games with me now because I talk about how competitive I am all the time. So no one wants to play games with me anymore. And you guys also said it's important to pray for one another and pray together. Trent, Dana, talk to us a little bit about that. Do you find it hard to pray together sometimes?
Yes, because we get in our routine and get busy, and so it is difficult to find time to pray together. But when we do pray together, I feel closer to Trent emotionally and spiritually, and so I'm grateful for those times when we do pray together. And when we first got married, I had this pie in the sky expectation that we would have devotionals together every day. We would pray together. We would just be spiritually intimate every day of our lives. And that certainly is not practical or real at all. But I'm grateful that we do get to share, you know, like I'll talk to Trent about what I'm studying in the Bible, and he'll talk to me about what he's studying, and so we can share that way. But one thing I do want to say is that I need to pray every day for my pastor husband, because thankfully we do have people in our church who are praying for him. But if no one else is praying for my husband, I need to be praying for my husband, and I need to take that responsibility very seriously.
Well, there's so much that we could talk about, and there's nothing that we can do as well on our own as we could do with our wives as part of our ministry team. And I'm very thankful for Dana and for Rochelle. I know that Alan and I have talked that our wives make our days better, sweeter, our ministry more. And so we're thankful for our wives, for sure.
Yeah, the only problem, Trent, is that now that people have heard them, we may be toast. But we are grateful, and we have been truly, truly blessed to have them on. And I'm sure when people hear this, they're going to say, we need to get them back on. What do you think?
Well, I hope that we can do that for sure. And we want to encourage you to, if you need to speak to a lady, maybe you're a minister's wife, that you contact us through enduringchurches.com. And maybe Dana and Rochelle can visit with you as well. So we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. And I hope to have you join us again.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.